All right, this morning I invite you to take an insert if you have one with you, also a Bible. If you'd like to use the Pew Bible in front of you, we'll be looking at that in just a few moments. This morning we're beginning a new series called One Another. This is One Another Part 1. The phrase One Another is used 100 times in the New Testament in 47 verses. And in the times when it's used in those 47 verses, mainly instructions are given to followers of Jesus Christ how to and how not to interact with each other. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament, is responsible for 60% of the one another phrases that we'll find. And I would say to you that as we begin, this one another phrase, this one another command is critical to how we interact with each other, but it's also critical because it's an outflow of the gospel. It's an outflow of the gospel in our life. In other words, I believe that the one another commands are really gospel goals for our relationships. As we have been touched by the gospel of Jesus Christ, it should make its way into our relationships with one another. And so we'll be looking at some one another phrases for a few weeks, taking a break, and then do one another series part two. And obviously there's a lot of these one another phrases in Scripture, so we won't touch on all of them, but we will touch on several of them. It's ironic to me that the word or the phrase one another in the Greek is one word. It's ironic because that one word in the Greek is pronounced allelon. But nowhere in the Scripture do you see that these one another commands are meant to be done all alone. They're always placed in context of relationships, things we're supposed to be doing towards each other or not doing towards each other, so they're built in the relationships that we have. And since this phrase is repeated so many times in the New Testament, it's worthy of us looking at. It's worthy of taking some time in a series to talk about some of these one another statements, one another commands. As a matter of fact, it's been stated that the early church was active in this process. Pastor Andy Stanley put it this way: the primary activity of the church was one anothering one another. And that's still true today. We're supposed to be one anothering one another with these commands. I want to start by just giving you three brief descriptions or reasons why I believe the one another commands are important for us as a church. And even if you're not necessarily a formal member of this church, it still applies to you because you're part of the body of Christ. Here's the first reason why. Number one is we need these one another commands to help us to get along with each other. They're meant to help us get along with each other. Now, I know you say, that's not our church. That's other churches that have problems. Oh, okay, good for you. We'll talk about that later. But the one another commands help us to get along with each other. Number two, they help us to be the church for each other. We're supposed to be the church for each other. Church was never designed to be come in, look straight ahead, check your time off, and then leave, and don't talk to people. Just don't do it. Don't have relationships with different people. Just get in, get out. Now, some of you, maybe that was your experience at church when you grew up in whatever denomination or place you were, but at least New Testament church is not supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be the church for each other. Thirdly, the one another commands help us to grow up in our faith with each other. I haven't arrived. I'm guessing you haven't arrived. We could help each other in our spiritual walk. We need each other. That's part of the reason why we have these one another commands. If you're thinking about maybe one word that would fit with each of those reasons, we need one another commands for unity, for support, and for maturity. Unity, support, and maturity. We need these one another commands to be happening in our lives. I read this phrase earlier in the week, and I thought it was really very powerful, very significant for what we're talking about. The person said this: God wants us to be better together and together better. That's hard for me to say, but I'm going to say it again. God wants us to be better together and together better. That's how it works. And while the one another commands have great purposes, they're not easy to do. They're just not. If they were easy, they wouldn't be commands. If they just automatically happened, God wouldn't have to kind of give us a little jump start when it comes to these one another commands. And I also want you to realize, in case you decide maybe you don't want to come back for the series, the one another commands are not suggestions. I don't think I'll come back next week because I'm not really into that one another thing. Okay, well, it's not a suggestion in Scripture. They're commands. And so I need to be reminded of what some of them look like and how we're supposed to do them. So we're going to start this morning with a one another command, an easy one. We're going to start with an easy one this morning. Here it is. Bear with one another. As you're writing that down, I would encourage you to turn to that passage. We'll bring it up in just a moment. But just, you know, there's the pew Bible number if you'd like. But write that down, bear with one another, and find your way to Colossians chapter 3. We're just going to look at a couple short passages this morning. But Colossians chapter 3, if you have your Bible, I would encourage you to turn in there because I'm going to ask either you or your neighbor to underline or circle bear for you because they're going to want you to do that. You're going to want to circle or underline that word bear with each other because as we unpack it, you'll understand why I'm having to do that. But Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, here's what it says. Bear with each other. Four words. Simple. Easy. No problem. Right? No, not so fast. We're going to spend some time talking about this and realizing it's not that easy. Literally, the phrase bear with means to put up with each other. Literally means to put up with each other. Now, you understand what I'm talking about. I know that you do. And to give you a little context, I took a little bit of a risk this last week, and I asked Pam, my wife, could you share with some things about me that you put up with? And honestly, she said, first of all, can it just be one? Does it have to be just one? I said, no, we can go with more than one. I can take notes. So one of them was that I have a difficulty in getting my plate from the sink down 18 inches into the dishwasher. It just doesn't happen. So she has to put up with that occasionally. Also, on occasion, after a meal or time at the dining room table, I may get up and leave my chair out like as a, like an obstacle course. She would prefer that pushed in. She bears with me, puts up with me. And then probably one that comes up more often than I would like to admit is sometimes I ask her to do a task for me, maybe even a ministry task, and then I do it myself. Doesn't go over well. A little bit of bearing is necessary. So you and I understand what it means to put up with people. And as we think about bearing with each other, these one another statements, they do apply to all relationships, but I want you to know they primarily apply to relationships with other Christians. We can't get away with saying, well, yeah, I'll put up with my coworkers or my boss because I don't want to get fired, but these other Christians in my life, I don't want to have to deal with them. Sorry, because you're in Colossians 3. Look at the verse right before, bear with each other. It'll be on the screen. It says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then it says, bear with one another. So who is Paul writing to? Us. He's saying to Christians, you and I, ready for it? You and I have to put up with each other. He's talking to Christians. We have to deal with each other. Now, you may say, that doesn't sound very spiritual. Shouldn't we all just be holding hands, singing kumbaya? Sure. I don't know what planet you're on, but that doesn't always happen. There's really only one place where that happens, so to speak. It's called heaven, and we're not there yet. So Paul, in reality, says we have to bear with each other. And I love, even though it sounds not very spiritual, I love the honesty and practicality of the Bible. The Bible is so honest about relationships. It says we will have opportunities. We will have moments that we will have to put up with each other, even Christians. And that I believe that God even sometimes, with his sense of humor, places those people in our lives. In the first service, when I get to the point where I talk about specific things, I encourage the people in the first service to just look straight ahead. Don't signal anybody in the room that you're kind of struggling. Just race straight ahead. If we're all honest, we would admit that there are times in our lives that even Christians bother us. Marriage, parenting, work, friendships, school, church. Bear with. It's in the Bible. So we have to do this. Now, before we unpack exactly what it means to bear with each other, I want to make sure you understand there's a difference between this one another command and another one that sounds very similar. There's another one another command that says, bear each other's burdens. That is not the same thing as bear with one another. It's totally different. See, bearing one another's burdens is the idea of helping people. And I have found, at least in my opinion, that bearing with people is a lot more difficult. And we actually get excited about helping other people, but putting up with people, that's a challenge. In the words of the theologian Linus, this is what he said, "I love mankind, it's people I can't stand." And even in the body of Christ, there may be opportunities where you have to bear with each other. The word bear in the New Testament, the primary Greek word, has several nuances to it that really kind of unfold or unpack the depth, the detail, and even the demand of what it means to bear with each other. So for the remainder of our time, what I'm going to do is I want to spend some time just defining for you what it means to bear with each other. And then once we realize what that is, and it's very difficult, this is heavy stuff. This is hard stuff. This is not for wimpy Christians. This bearing with each other command is not easy. So once we define it, we'll need to take a deep breath and then decide, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? So here's the first definition based on the Greek word for the word bear. It really literally means to put up with someone annoying. I know some of you are looking at me, is he saying that in church? Yes, I am. And remember I told you, straight ahead. It's about putting up with someone annoying. And in the context of the New Testament, it's not talking about giving allowance for sin. It's not saying that you allow people to sin against you and you don't say anything. It's not talking about it. It's just saying that sometimes people in your life, even Christians, will rub you the wrong way. Sometimes Christians get under your skin. Sometimes Christians bother you. They just do. And it's not a sin issue, but you have to put up with people that are sometimes annoying. I was trying to put this in context, and it came to me this morning as Pam and I were driving into church. I was annoyed by the blizzard. It was annoying. But snow, regardless of how we feel, is ultimately not sinful. But it's annoying in April. And there are people that you and I will have in our lives at times as Christians who are not always being sinful, but they are occasionally annoying. And you're like, what do I do with them? You have to put up with them. Why? It's a command. This is where you want it to be a suggestion. But it's not. It's a command. Put up with someone who's annoying. Here's a second definition of what this means, because there's great depth to this. It also means to hold your own against difficult people. Oh, wow. Here's the word picture. It's the picture of a person holding up a bunch of weights that are pressing down on them. And you're supposed to hold your own against the weight. And the weight in the context is someone who is being difficult. They're pressing down on you, and you're supposed to endure and hold up under the weight. So there's some effort involved in this. Listen to me. Bearing with each other is not easy. It's going to take some effort. Thirdly, it means to make allowance for each other's differences. Make allowance for each other's differences. A lot of people in this room, And we're all different. A lot of Christians in this room, followers of Christ, and none of us are exactly the same. And occasionally we're going to have to make allowance for our differences. And see, what has happened in some churches, and I will even throw out some Baptist churches, here's how they respond to that. They try to make everybody look and sound the same. And it doesn't work. That's how they make allowance for differences. Let's make everybody dress, look, talk, sing, listen to, read, everything the same. That works out really well. No, it doesn't, because the Bible's not talking about uniformity, it's talking about unity. So we make allowance for each other's differences. What exactly does that mean? That means that occasionally you're going to have people in your life who have a pretty strong personality, stronger than yours, and you're going to be like, Maybe you're serving with somebody, and they're a fellow follower of Christ, a fellow Christian, and you both love Jesus, but they have a really strong personality. You're like, what do I do? Well, you're going to have to make allowance for that. I read this phrase earlier in the week that I really got a pretty big kick out of as it relates to making allowance for our differences. This person said this about Christians. Occasionally, you'll find someone who is strangely particular. Straight ahead, but you might want to write it down. You may have Christians in your life who at times are strangely particular. This sounds so unspiritual, Pastor Jay. We all love each other all the same. Okay. But occasionally, you love each other, but occasionally you can be annoyed. There's differences. We also need to allow differences when it comes to where we are spiritually. If we expect people to be at the same place we are spiritually, we need to make allowance for that. That's part of putting up and bearing with each other. Strangely particular. I've been a pastor for a long time, and I've met people who are strange and particular, and sometimes it works together, and they're Christians. You're like, well, what do you do as a pastor? Well, sometimes you just need to make allowance. I'm just being honest with you. You have to make allowance for sometimes people are just strangely particular. And no matter how hard you try, you're not going to change them. One more way that we can define this, I find it very fascinating. Bearing with each other also implies the idea of a delay of punishment. A delay of punishment. I would like you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans. It's a very interesting verse in Romans chapter 2 that uses this root word for the word bear relating to a delay of punishment. So Romans chapter 2 in verse 4, it's 783 in your pew Bible if you'd like to find that. But Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. And in this verse, Paul is going to give us a rhetorical question related to God's grace and God's mercy. So listen to this verse, or this question. Paul says, and do you not show contempt, or do you show contempt for the riches of God's kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? And that word forbearance in there is the root word where we get the word bear. So here's what Paul is saying in this rhetorical question. Are you taking for granted the idea that God delayed in judging sinners? And how did he do that? Jesus Christ. So in your life and in my life, God, in his holiness, could have judged us right away. But he didn't. He could have chose not to bear with us. He could have punished us right away. But praise God, he didn't do that. He delayed punishment and sent Jesus Christ. So, in that same picture, what does it mean to bear with people that are difficult? Bear with people who are annoying? We sometimes have to delay punishment. So, there's a lot to this. There's a lot to this command to bear with each other. It means to put up with, to hold our own, to make allowances and to delay punishment. So this is where we step back, or I step back and take a deep breath and say, okay, God, I understand intellectually what it means to bear with each other. But tomorrow, I have a counseling, I'm just making this up by the way. Tomorrow I have a counseling appointment with someone who just really, God, if I'm honest, annoys me. What am I going to do? Probably shouldn't cancel the appointment. So what are some things that we can do to flesh out what it means to bear with each other? Now, I found this particular option. It probably came from a very creative mom. Go ahead. This is where she made a shirt for her two boys. It says, our get-along shirt. So apparently they were not bonding well. They were not bearing with each other well. And so she came up with that, and we talked in the first service about having these available for church members or for couples. If you'd like to come in, you're struggling with bearing with each other, this is our bear with each other shirt, but I'm not sure that's going to go over well. So that's an option. Here's another option. You could decide just to kind of live in a cave and just live by yourself or just try not to deal with people. Now, some people try. It doesn't really work. Or you could try and ask God to just get rid of all the people in your life that you're having to bear with. That doesn't sound very Christian-like. So if those options really aren't going to work, we need to look to the Scriptures for ways that we can live out bearing with each other. Because Jesus said to his disciples, people will know you are Christians by your love for each other. A lot of you are familiar with that, correct? Yes? But let's be honest. Sometimes they're hard to love. Right? Sometimes Christians are hard to love. You need to work with me here, folks. You're looking like this never happens in your lives, okay? There are times when my lovely wife, who loves Jesus, has to bear with the pastor. And we're both Christians. And vice versa. How about you? So we need help. Here's the first way to flesh it out. First thing you and I need to do, check your motivation. Why are you trying to bear with this person? What is motivating you? Well, I'm motivated to change them. I need to change them. Don't write that down. That's not a good motivation. I'm just saying it out loud. So you need to check your motivation. Perhaps you're saying, I need to change them. I need them to do it my way. I need to make my life easier. I need to just set them straight. They're not far enough along in their Christian walk. I need to get things going in their life. That's how I'm going to do it. That's my motivation. It's all about me fixing them. Well, that's not really what the Bible says about bearing with each other. How do I know that? You're going to turn to one more verse with me. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 is the parallel verse for Colossians 3, but Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2, same author, the Apostle Paul, but he says it a little bit differently. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. If you circled bear in Colossians 3, you should circle a word in Ephesians 4 because it won't let us off the hook as far as our motivation. It says, bearing with one another in love. So that little parentheses phrase you have in your insert, you shouldn't be writing the word love, you should be writing the word agape. And agape means to seek to benefit someone else. So when it comes to my motivation for dealing with difficult people, I should be looking to benefit them. Really? Really? Yes. Why? Because the greatest example of agape is God sending Jesus Christ to die for us. In other words, God put up with me. He bore with me. He was bearing with me. You understand what I'm saying? He was willing to bear with me and allow me an opportunity to meet his grace. So if God is willing to do that agape towards me, then in a small way, I should be willing to agape others, and my motivation should be that I'm seeking to benefit them. Even after you become a follower of Christ, I really believe there are times over and over again that God bears with us. God puts up with us. Why would he do that? Because he agapes you. Why should I be motivated to deal with difficult people? I should be motivated out of agape to benefit them. Because I'm here to tell you, it will not work for you and I to bear with each other if we're motivated by our own self-interest. Because you'll get frustrated, you'll get mad, you won't be able to do it. We have to have a different motivation. So check your motivation when it comes to bearing with each other. Here's another way to live it out. Acknowledge your need for help. acknowledge your need for help. This is what I mean. This cannot be done humanly. Humanly speaking, it's really too difficult. Right now, maybe you're thinking of someone or maybe more than one person in your life that you're kind of struggling with in your relationship with them, and they're a follower of Christ. You need God's help. I need God's help. We can't do this on our own. As it becomes more and more difficult, you and I can't do this on our own. I'm just telling you, even as a pastor, I need help. I need God's help in dealing with difficult people and difficult Christians. I do, and so do you. So acknowledge your need for help. Thirdly, embrace the challenge from God. It is a challenge. Embrace it. Here's what I mean. Listen to me. Don't miss this. If God gives a command, it can be done. So you may come to me after the service or sometime during the week and maybe email me or text me and say, Pastor Jay, I understand about bearing with one another, but you don't know about the Christian that God has placed in my life, and I just can't do it. I'm just going to gently tell you the answer to that is no, that's not true. You can do it. Why? Because if he commands it, you can do it. It's, are you willing to embrace the challenge? It doesn't say bear with one another because it's really easy. But it does say to do it, which means we can with God's help. We really can. So embrace the challenge. Here's another way to live out bearing with each other. Endure by living out your faith. Here's what this practical step looks like. Endure by living out your faith. Going back to the picture of the weights, remember you're underneath the weight of maybe a difficult person in your life, a difficult Christian even. The idea of the picture of that is not just holding it up. It's also about holding your own and being able to even push back a little bit. Because the idea is if we're under the weight of a difficult person and we complain and we moan and we whine, we get lower and lower and lower, yes? And so we fall under the weight. But if there are things that we can do to hold our own, that will help us. Let me give you a couple of suggestions of what those hold your own things are. They won't be on the screen, but you can write them down anyways. You're allowed. Pray for that person. Complaining about them makes the load heavier. Praying for them makes the load lighter. You mean I'm supposed to pray for difficult people? Yeah, I think Jesus said that was okay. Pray for those who despise you. My translation, pray for those who bother you. Pray for those who annoy you. Here's another thing you can do. You can choose to bless them. Whoa. That Christian I work with that's really kind of annoying, you mean I could bring them cookies and it would be okay? Yes. Or you could go in each day at work and complain over and over again under your breath about having to work with this Christian that's annoying you. Your choice. Heavier, lighter. Your choice. Because usually for the most part, they're going to stay and you're going to stay. What are you going to do? They're going to be there tomorrow. Thanks for the reminder. You could pray for them. You can bless them. Here's another way to lighten the load. Occasionally, you may need to confront them. And that'd be okay. Occasionally need to confront them. That's part of holding and enduring. There are times when you just need to have a conversation. Say, can we just talk a little bit? We're just kind of struggling here. That's okay. That's part of living out your faith. What I'm saying here is the picture is not just holding back. It's also being proactive, not reactive. Complaining is reactive. Praying is proactive. Just kind of feeling sorry for yourself is reactive. Blessing them is proactive. You with me? And because for the most part, I'm just telling you, for the most part, these people are not going anyplace. So live out your faith. Here's one more way that you can live out your faith. Lighten the load. At first, it's going to sound kind of harsh, but let me explain it to you. You need to minimize them. And you say, finally, a command I would love to do. I will go out and say, you do not matter. How'd you get that? My pastor told me to minimize you. It's not what I meant. So listen further. Here's what I mean by that. Don't make them the focal point of your life. Don't make them the focus of your life. So guess what? It's not about them, it's about you. Are you going to make them the focus of your life? Don't do it. Live out your faith, endure the weight by minimizing them. We've got a couple more. You with me? You okay, stay with me here. Here's a couple more ways, because I wanted this to be super practical, and I know this is a tough one to start with, but I also know, again, being a pastor for many, many years, that relationships in the church don't always go smoothly. As a matter of fact, even after the first service, I had somebody pull me into the office and go, oh, thanks for that message, but can you help me? Because so-and-so doesn't get along with my wife, and my wife doesn't really know about so-and-so. What am I supposed to do? I wanted to say, well, listen to the message again. I mean, I didn't say that. Because I was bearing with that person. So we just talked it through a little bit. So it's there. So here's another thing. Don't sweat the small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. Don't make a big deal about every difference, behavior, quirk, and idiosyncrasy. Don't do it. Just saying. There's a follower of Christ that's kind of in my life right now. And this person, their breathing bothers me. Because it's like Darth Vader. I'm serious. And so when I'm with them, I'm just being honest. They love Jesus, but they can't breathe properly. And there's a reason why they're not doing it on purpose. There's a reason why. So what am I supposed to do? I'm not supposed to make a big deal about it. Because I really can't say, could you just stop? Stop breathing. Stop breathing that way. And you'll be dealing with people that rub you the wrong way, or you'll deal with Christians who have idiosyncrasies, who are strangely particular, and you'll have to decide, I'm not going to sweat the small stuff. Even as husband and wife, you know what I'm talking about. Don't sweat the small stuff. If you want to be living together for a long time, they have idiosyncrasies. They just do. You need a verse? I think you need a verse. Romans chapter 14, let me give it to you. Go ahead. Let us pursue the things which make for peace. That's a great verse. That is basically, in Pastor J translation, don't sweat the small stuff. You and I won't make it with bearing with each other if every single little thing we just camp on it. Don't do it. Two more ways to live this out. We need to work with people where we find them on their spiritual journey. I say this because I see this in churches sometimes, Christians bearing with each other, and sometimes Christians get bent out of shape with each other because they want somebody to be farther along than they are. You don't know where the book of Habakkuk is? Really? You don't have more verses memorized? You don't know more of the Bible? You didn't know that story in the Bible? What's your problem? And we struggle with sometimes bearing with each other because we're not in the same place. Folks, just so you know, practically speaking, we're not all in the same spot. And we try to, as a value in our church, accept people exactly where they come on their journey. Some people come here, they don't know Jesus. Some people have come after just meeting Jesus, and we want to help them to get to know Jesus more. Some have known Jesus for a long time, and they still have parts where they're working on. We're not all in the same place, so we have to bear with each other. And I know the scripture says we need to move from milk to meat, and I understand that. But sometimes we want to take somebody who's really still in the milk stage and give them a T-bone. And you're overwhelming them with the book of Habakkuk. And they're having a hard time finding Genesis. Is that okay? Bear with each other. Now here's the last one. Last way to bear with each other. Ready? Resist the temptation to blast difficult people right away. Remember that verse in Romans chapter 2? The delay of punishment? Remember that? So there will be times when you're dealing with difficult people, evil Christians, and you want to blast them right away. Resist the temptation. Two words, ready? Long fuse. Why are you breathing that way? You need to leave now. We're not talking about sin here. We're not talking about the fact that you don't confront sometimes. But sometimes we want to blast people right away that we're trying to bear with. Delay it just a little bit. Keeping in mind that God did that for you. Bearing with one another. Is it easy? No. Is it necessary? Yes. Should it be motivated by the gospel? Yes, it should be. It should be motivated by agape. Let me give you one more slide. Here you go. Bear with one another, but don't be a bear to one another. Even Christians, bear with one another, but don't be a bear to each other. Straight ahead, okay? Because the body of Christ is a wonderful thing. But just with any family, no family's perfect. And we have our moments. But we are called to bear with one another. Why don't you stand with me as we close in prayer? God, thank you for this command, even though we realize it's pretty difficult. And God, as we leave today and we think about those moments, whether it's with a friend or a coworker or a church person, whatever, if we think of a context where this needs to take place, help us to remember that agape is what motivates you. And agape is what should motivate us to seek to benefit other people. And God, we need your help. It's not going to be easy. For some of us, today or even tomorrow, we're going to be faced with this right away, where someone who is a follower of Christ is going to become difficult in our lives. And right away, we're going to have the choice of what we do with that. So help us to bear with each other in a way that pleases you. Ultimately, to bring glory to you, and to show that your love has impacted our relationships as well. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.